Title: Sub Reinforcement for Sampled Bases Beginner. Alright, welcome back. In this lesson we're doing one of the biggest Why Does My Base Feel Weak? Fixes in Drum and Bass. Sub Reinforcement Under a Sampled Bass. Because here's the classic problem. You grab a sick reese, a foghorn, a growl, a jungle stab. It sounds massive in the mids. Lots of character, lots of movement, but the actual sub, the stuff that makes a club system breathe, is either thin, inconsistent, or it wobbles around in pitch and level. So today we're going to build a simple, super reliable two-layer system in Ableton Live using only stock devices. The mindset is this: the sub has one job, and the sample has a different job. Sub equals steady, clean, and mono. Sampled bass equals texture, aggression, movement, and stereo fun, but mostly above the sub range. By the end, you'll have a bass that feels like one instrument, hits consistently, and still keeps the vibe of the sample. Step 0. Quick session setup so you can actually hear what matters. Set your tempo somewhere in the DNB zone, like 172 to 176 BPM. Drop in a basic drum loop. Even just kick, snare, and hats is fine. Don't try to balance bass in a vacuum. And put a spectrum device on your master. Not because we're mixing with our eyes, but because it helps you confirm what you're hearing down low. Also, quick DNB no choice tip. A lot of rolling tunes live around F, F sharp, G, or G sharp as a root. Not a rule, just a common sweet spot for weight and headroom. Now step 1. Prep your sampled bass track. Create an audio track and name it Bass Sample. Drop your sample in and loop a section that represents the tone you want. If it's a one shot, loop it musically. If it's a phrase, find a stable part. Now add EQ 8 first. We're going to high pass the sample. This is the big separation move. Turn on a high pass filter and start around 110 Hz. Set the slope to 24 dB per octave so it's a pretty clean handoff. Then listen. The goal is not to destroy the bass. The goal is to remove the unstable sub baggage so the sample isn't competing with your real sub layer. If the sample sounds muddy or boxy, you can also do a gentle dip around 200 to 350 Hz. Don't overdo it. Just clear space if it's clouding the groove. Optional but helpful. Add a saturator after the EQ. Drive it lightly, like 1 to 4 dB, and turn on soft clip. This adds harmonics so the bass reads on smaller speakers without you needing to crank sub. Teacher note, if you're thinking but I like the low end in my sample, that's normal. You probably like the vibe of its low mids and harmonics. We're not removing weight, we're assigning the true sub fundamental to a layer that can actually behave. Step 2. Create a dedicated sub layer. Make a new MIDI track and name it sub. Load operator, because it's clean and predictable. In operator, use oscillator A only, no FM, and set it to a sine wave. Then look at the volume envelope. Set attack somewhere between 0 and about 5 milliseconds. If you get clicks later, we'll raise it a bit. Decay can be around 200 to 600 milliseconds depending on your rhythm. If you want plucky subs, turn sustain all the way down. If you want held notes, keep sustain up. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds so it ends smoothly. Set the instrument to mono. This keeps sub tight and stops overlapping notes from smearing. Glide or portamento is optional. For classic rolling subs, keep glide off. For modern slidey vibes, turn it on and try like 20 to 60 milliseconds. Now write or copy a MIDI pattern. If your sample is playing a bassline already, match it. If not, write something simple and rolling. The big thing is note length. In drum and bass, sub notes that are too long can blur the kick and make the groove feel slow. Shorter notes usually feel punchier and more percussive. Step 3. Tune your sub to the sample. This step is way more important than beginners think, because even a small mismatch can make your low end feel like it's wobbling or hollow. Put the tuner device on your bass sample track. Loop a moment where the pitch is clear. Read the note. Then make sure your sub MIDI notes match that root. If the sample itself is a little off, you can nudge it with audio clip transpose in small increments. Or, if it's inside simpler or sampler, use transpose and fine tuning there. Don't chase perfection if the sample is messy, but get it locked enough that the sub doesn't chorus against it. That chorusing effect down low is a common reason bass feels weak. Quick coach trick: if the sample is a resampled loop with inconsistent pitch, sometimes the fastest fix is to resample it to audio, pick the cleanest section, and build the sub to that. You're not cheating, you're producing. Step 4. Make sure the layers don't fight. This is where we tighten the split. On the sub track, add EQ 8 and low pass it. Dart your low pass around 80 to 110 Hz. Use a steeper slope, 24 or even 48 dB per octave, if you want a very clean separation. Then add utility after the EQ. Set weights to 0%, so your sub is mono, always. And set the gain so it's strong but not clipping. Now back on the bass sample track. We already high-passed it, but you can also use utility to control low stereo. If your version of utility has bass mono, set it somewhere around 100 to 140 Hz. That keeps the low mid centered, which translates better in clubs and in mono playback. Important note, mono is more than just width 0% on the sub. Make sure you're not running chorus, unison, or widening effects on the sub track. And be careful with any stereo processing on the bass bus that happens before you've separated sub from everything else. Wide fun belongs above the sub range. Now step 5, sidechain the sub to the kick. This is basically a DNB superpower, because the kick is short and the bass is often constant. We want the kick transient to punch through cleanly, and we want the bass to roll around it. On the sub track, add compressor. Turn on sidechain. Set the input to your kick track, or a drum bus if you prefer. Starting settings. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack around 5 to 15 milliseconds. That lets the initial click of the kick through before the duck happens. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. This is groove dependent, so you'll tweak it. Then lower the threshold until you see about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on each kick. Listen. Don't stare at it. The best release time is the one that makes the bass breathe in rhythm with the drums. If the bass takes too long to return, shorten the release. If it clicks or feels weirdly snappy, raise the attack a little. Optional but often nice, sidechain the bass sample track too, just lightly, like 1 to 3 dB. That way the whole bass feels like it moves together when the kick hits, not like the top layer ignores the groove. Step 6. Group and glue. Select the sub and bass sample tracks and group them. Name it Bass Bus. On the Bass Bus, any EQ8 for cleanup. If you've got mud building up, a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz can help. If you need a touch more bite, a tiny shelf in the 2 to 5 kHz area can bring out character, but be careful. DNB bass can get harsh fast. Then add glue compressor. Keep this gentle. Attack 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is just to make the layers feel like one instrument. If your version has soft clip, you can turn it on for a bit of safety, but don't smash it. Optional. A saturator on the bus. Very subtle. Like 1 to 3 dB drive. Soft clip on. But remember, heavy saturation on the actual sub range can eat headroom and blur note definition. If you want more grit, it usually belongs on the sample layer, not the pure sub. Quick coach note on levels. A beginner-friendly way to avoid overcooking the sub is to put spectrum on the sub track and compare it to the kick's low peak. You don't want the sub peak towering over the kick. Same ballpark is a good starting point. And if the whole mix seems to get quieter when you add sub, that's often headroom. You're hitting your limiter or clipping sooner, not actually adding weight. Step 7. Do a simple phase check. Sometimes you do everything right and the bass still feels hollow. That can be phase cancellation between your sub and the low-end remnants of the sample, especially near the crossover point. Quick safe method. Mute the kick for a moment. Solo sub and bass sample together. On the sub track, open utility and hit phase invert for left and right. If it suddenly gets fatter and louder down low, keep it inverted. If it gets thinner, turn it back. Then also experiment with a crossover point. If your sample is high-passed at 110 Hz, try 90, then 130, and listen for the tightest low end without a hole. Here's how to hear it. If you hear a hole in the low end, your crossover gap is too wide. If you hear a kind of boom or flam, like two low hits stacked, there's too much overlap. Step 8. Arrange it like a DNB track, because sub reinforcement isn't just sound design, it's also impact. A few easy moves. For the intro, run the sample bass only and filter it higher, like high pass around 200 Hz. Tease the tone without giving away the full weight. On the drop, bring in the full sub layer with sidechain. That's your floor just arrived moment. For a 16-bar variation, try muting the sub for a half bar or even two beats right before a fill, then slam it back in. The return will feel louder without changing level. For call and response, keep the sub consistent and let the sample layer do the talking with different phrases, one-shots, reverses, and little gaps. And you can automate the sample's high-pass filter slightly, like 90 up to 130 Hz and back, to create movement without messing with the sub foundation. Before we wrap, common mistakes to avoid. Letting the sample keep too much sub. That fights your clean sub layer and fights the kick. Stereo sub. It might sound cool in headphones, but it's weak and unstable in mono and on club systems. oversaturating the sub. You lose headroom and clarity. Sub notes that are too long. The groove smears, and the kick loses definition. No sidechain in D-NB. You can do it, but you'll work 10 times harder for the same punch. And ignoring tuning. If it's not hitting, it's often pitch mismatch. A couple darker, heavier D-NB tips if you want extra sauce. If the sign feels too invisible on smaller speakers, try a triangle instead of sign, or add a tiny bit of harmonic content. A really clean trick is, keep the sub mostly sign, but add oscillator B as a sign one octave up. Very quiet, like minus 24 to minus 30 dB. It adds definition without turning into fuzz. Or do the translation layer idea. Duplicate the sub. Keep one pure and low pass lower for weight, and the second one more audible but turn down and low pass higher. Just don't let it get out of control. Also, if you're getting clicks and pops on the sub, that's usually envelope or note length. Raise operator attack slightly, even 2 to 5 milliseconds can fix it. Add a touch of release, and make sure your MIDI notes aren't hard-cutting in awkward places. Now your quick 10 to 15 minute practice exercise. Pick a gritty sampled bass. Build the two-layer system. High pass the sample around 110 Hz. Low pass the sub around 90 Hz as a starting point. Write a simple 2-bar rolling pattern with a little pickup note, and then a small variation in bar 2. Sidechain the sub to the kick and aim for about 3 to 5 dB of reduction. Then bounce an 8-bar loop into the most important /B. Sub off versus sub on. You should feel it more than you hear it. That's how you know it's working. Bonus. Automate the sample high pass up by about 20 Hz during a mini build, then drop it back when the drop hits. Recap to lock it in. Roll separation is everything. Sub is clean foundation, steady, mono. Sample is character and movement, mostly above the sub. Use EQ8 to split. High pass the sample, low pass the sub. Use utility to keep the sub dead center. Sidechain to the kick so the groove breathes. This audio version is shortened for playback.